or keeps us from coming into that place of rest. Hallelujah. All I've got to do in order to obtain my rest from God is just simply take him at his word. When he says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end." I may be like Job and I may not be able to find him. I may feel for him and I cannot feel him, but I've got the promise and the assurance of that promise, and by faith I'm able to secure and find my rest. Hallelujah. But there is a need of rest. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know from personal experience what it is to be fatigued in the body. I know what it is for nights and weeks and days and months go by and there not be any rest to come. And I know how it feels in the physical sense. But I'm not here this morning to deal with the physical side of man. But I'm here to deal with the mental side as well as the spiritual side. For you must understand, the enemy he knows that the quickest way into your heart is through your mind. And if he can weary your mind, he'll weary your spirit. If he can conquer the mind, he can conquer the heart. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so I want to preach to somebody this morning of the weariness of the mind. And there is a call from God that says, come. I want you to come. You're labored. You're in the middle of laboring. You're doing that what must be done. You're in the middle of your labors. And you're doing what God has bid thee to do. And the scripture said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Let me draw your attention to some portions of scripture. Jesus finds himself, amen, after a time of teaching on the mount, he comes down to that lakeside and he bids his disciples to get into a ship and to carry him across to the other side. Now we know that he could continue his journey by foot and he would have continued in his teaching and he would have continued in the conflicts that were taking place. For in the scripture we find that his own family would come. And they would, you know, we need to talk to him. He's beside himself. Others would mock him and make fun of him. But he understood there must come a time in my journey that I must pull aside from my labor and I must find rest. And here we find the Son of God. I mean, he that's able to control the wind and the waves. He finds himself in the hinder part of a ship. And the writer said, even though the storm is raging, he is asleep. Let me make a statement right here. You may be weary, and there's no sin in being weary. You can be weary in well-doing. That denotes a faithfulness. Hallelujah. I said you may be weary in well-doing. That denotes a faithfulness. But don't become weary of, because when you get weary of, amen, you become sour and bitter. And the enemy begins to make inroads into your heart. Amen. We must understand first there's a need. I've got a need of rest. Hallelujah. Amen. Though I'm in the middle of my labor, come unto me. All ye that are labored and heavy laden, you're not just laboring, but you got a burden right in the middle of it. You got a storm that's weighing your shoulders down right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The men of God have preached this week. I'm trying to slow down. The men of God have preached this week, and God has spoke to us. And we're not responding to what God is saying to us. Come on, church. Amen. I said we're not responding to what God says. Now, I'm not here to be negative or down on you, because I am a very backward person. I am a very shy person. I'm a very solemn person. And because of that, I understand how difficult it is sometimes to get beyond the congregation and get beyond what the enemy is saying and get beyond my own fears and my own thoughts and push this your way to this altar. Amen. And endeavoring to lay hold of God. But my friend, there must come a time in our life when we realize, I may be laboring and I'm carrying a burden. Hallelujah. And let me stop and say this. There are burdens that God gives to us, and we must bear them faithfully and endure none of them. But there's some burdens that have been put there either by our adversary or our own devices. Hallelujah. And there must come a time when I recognize my need and I've got to find a place of rest. And let me remind you, our rest does not depend upon a day, amen, or a time, or a place, amen. But I hear him say, come, amen, that's 24/7. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The mind, the weariness of the mind. When the mind is weary, the heart gets weary. And if we don't deal with the weariness of the mind, and that weariness begins to set in on the heart, we are standing on some dangerous ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, I know how difficult it is to come. I know how difficult it is. I know from experience, there have been times when I did push. There have been times when I did not worry about what everybody thought and what everybody was going to say. And I made my way down the altar and I laid my tears there. And I done everything I could by faith to lay hold to what God said and walked out. And the storm seemed to continue to raise. And the struggle was still there. And the conflict went on. And I went back to the altar again. And then and it seemed that deliverance didn't come. But I want to tell you, looking back, I realized that there was ground gained in those times. I said there was ground gained in those times. If nothing else, I got enough rest in the altar out of a hut of a high that is secured at the loins of my mind. And it enabled me to secure my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. As I survey this crowd, and it's done been said all week, it doesn't take somebody super spiritual to realize that in a congregation this size, there are needs. I said there are needs. Amen. The enemy is wearing on all of us. Come on here. You look at us preachers and you think we're just skipping down the road and everything is hunky-dory. Amen. We wrestle with him just like you do. We fight him just like you do. We have to go back to that prayer closet and shore up our faith just like you do. Hallelujah. Amen. We have to get a hold of the loins of our mind. Amen. We have to secure our heart just like you do. But you're sitting here this morning and God spoke to me and been dealing with me all week. And 5 o'clock this morning, he said, I want you to tell him one more time. Amen. All I want him to do is come. Hallelujah. You must understand their need. You've got to see the need. Hallelujah. It took the U.S. military World War II and through Korea and Vietnam before they finally realized that you could not take that soldier and put him on a perpetual battlefield and keep him there, that he would start breaking down. Amen. I've read of accounts, amen, where soldiers went to sleep on the battlefield with bombs bursting around them and bullets flying because fatigue had overtaken their mind and the body ceased to function and it just simply collapsed. And they understood there comes a time we've got to pull those men back, replace them with somebody fresh and put them in a place of rest. It's not so much that God is going to remove you out of your calling. It's not so much that God's going to remove you out of your place, but God even knows there must come a time in your journey that you must find, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, that unlimited rest that is afforded to us because of what he did at Calvary. The need of it. The need of it. Because of my own nature, I've struggled with that from time to time, to see my own need. Not only the fear of moving because of what others are going to say, Amen. I know we make the statement, we're not here to embarrass you, but it is embarrassing sometimes to make that move. But you just got to swallow and you got to make the move. Hallelujah. Amen. But it goes beyond just the making of the move. I've got to make a conclusion within my own heart. Yes, Lord, I need to afford myself of that rest. Amen. God, when he created man in the garden, he said on the seventh day and he rested. But because of sin, man lost that day of rest. And then when the children of Israel stood at Kadesh Barnea and God promised them a second rest, because of unbelief, they could not enter in. Amen. That's the reason why the writer said, amen, that word, they've got Jesus in the scripture, but the commentary translates it Joshua. And if Joshua that took it over and he took him into that land, he failed to secure it like he should, and therefore they had no rest. But I want to tell you, the real Jesus showed up. And when he got through with Calvary, he's given us rest. And it just takes me and you having enough faith in what he said. And we'll come and allow him to refresh us. A lot of our struggles, a lot of our isms and schisms, a lot of our holiness issues would be solved in men and women's hearts if they would learn to come to the altar and let the Spirit of God refresh them. We wouldn't struggle so much with the flesh. We wouldn't struggle so much with the conflicts of this world and the pulling of the world. We would not be so defeated because of our adversary that wears on us if we would repeatedly learn that he opened up a fountain. Yes, it's the blood. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that blood don't just save and that blood don't just heal, but that blood will give you a rest. Hallelujah. It'll revigorate you. It'll revive you. It'll renew you. Hallelujah. Amen. You've got the need of rest. And there's the offer of rest. He is offering us rest. Hallelujah. Amen. I understand that we've got incurable diseases in this land. I get it. But usually when you go to a doctor and he diagnoses your problem, one of the things he's going to tell you, bed rest. You need to let the body recuperate so it can fight this infection, so it can fight this sickness. Amen. Now don't you go to seed on it, as Brother Barnett would say. Amen. We also learned in school when I was in health class that you weren't supposed to sleep more than 7 or 8 hours. It was like overcharging the battery and you would kill it. Come on here. Hallelujah. There should be a balance, but he's offering us rest. I said he's offering us rest. Hallelujah. You've got to understand something. Who it is that's offering this rest to us. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I wish I could remember everything I was reading in John Phillips this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't even bother trying to copy it down. I knew it'd be too much. Amen. But it's not dependent upon a man after the line of Aaron. Hallelujah. I'm going to get ahead of myself here. Amen. But Aaron and the line of Aaron, though they could sympathize with us, they were men that had sin in their own life. And they first had to offer a sacrifice for themselves. Hallelujah. Amen. But this man that is offering us this rest, he doesn't follow after the line of Aaron, for he's of the tribe of Judah. Amen. And though he's in the lineage of the king, amen, this writer spends this entire book bringing us to the place of why Christ is a better priest. Amen. Because he's not after the order of Aaron, but he's after the order of Melchizedek. He's being chosen by God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I got to get my eyes on. In the 14th verse, he said, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that title is not given to any other man, and it's the first time it is used. He is the great high priest, and because he is the great high priest, amen, he's saying, come, I've got a rest that transcends everything you face. I've got a rest that'll go beyond your storm. Hallelujah. In other words, your boat may continually be tossed on the stormy seas of life, but you can have rest. Woo! You may find yourself in the heat of the battle, but you can have rest. His rest transcends whatever I'm facing. I can keep laboring, and I can keep bearing my load because he'll give me a rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The need of rest, the offer of rest. But then there's the source of rest. Amen. I'm already touching on it, but the source of rest. Notice this. He's the great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now I want to stop right here and make this statement. You and I are tempted and tried, and God uses that to purify us. But Jesus, when he was tempted and tried, it was to prove how pure he was. Hallelujah. Come on here. I know that some will quote that verse and try to tell us that Jesus could sin. I beg to differ with you. Amen. He's the pure gold. And when the pure fire is put on the pure gold, all it does is reveal his purity. Hallelujah. And so what does that mean? I'm telling you, we got a pure high priest that sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession, and as he intercedes, you and I can be sure of that rest. So if you thought this week that what the men of God were preaching wasn't really serious and it was just the opinion of a man, God said to tell you, it is I that speaks. It is I that gives the invitation. It is I that says come. And you can share because of my character and who I am that when you come, you will find your rest. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let me talk to you here. And so the writer closes out the fourth chapter with this statement. This very powerful statement. They could not enter in because of their unbelief. And then he warns us. It is that same unbelief that will keep us out of our rest. But he comes down here because he is the great high priest. And because his character is impeccable. Amen. He cannot lie. Hallelujah. What he offers, he ain't an Indian giver. And if you're Indian, I ain't trying to be racist and offend you, but he ain't an Indian giver. Hallelujah. He don't offer it out to you and then pull it back when you make a move toward him. Amen. But he says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And so he closes out this chapter and he said, let us therefore, amen, that word therefore means stop, backtrack, look what's already being said. Amen. And because of this, therefore we can come boldly. Holy. You don't have to take the duck head. You don't have to be backward and shy and scared like I am a lot of times. But you can come boldly to that altar, realizing that when I get there, you can come boldly while you're kneeled down in the living room at the couch or beside the stump in the woods. You can come boldly in the car seat of that automobile while going down the road. But you can come boldly unto the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. My mind's going blank. Amen. But it was Esther. Amen. Mordecai came to Esther and bid her to come before the king. And she said, I can't. I've not been invited. Well, I want to tell you something. You've been invited. Hallelujah. I said, you've been invited. I said, you've been invited. The scepter is being held out. And he just said, come, come,
finances. Come on into my throne room. Come on in here where I'm at. And you may have found, let me read it right. Amen, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
She had no invitation. Only the command of Mordecai. If you don't, gotta find somebody else. And so she makes her way into the presence of that king and obtains help for the nation of Israel. But this morning, there's an invitation. I said there's an invitation. You've got to understand this source of our rest is unlimited. Hallelujah. We all respond differently to the presence of God. Some of you are more outgoing. Some of us are more reserved. But it doesn't drain or tax our source. Hallelujah. It doesn't belittle it. It doesn't shrink it down. It is an unlimited source. Well, I wish I could preach to you. Amen. It's unlimited. Amen. I don't know how many are here this morning, but every single soul can make their way to this altar. And in this altar, each one of us can seek a rest in the middle of whatever we're facing. And God has the unique ability to hear you as if you're the only one speaking. Amen. He has the ability to listen to your need and sympathize with you right where you're at. And touch you as if you're the only one on the altar while he is moving for everyone else. Hallelujah. There is a need and we must recognize it. Hallelujah. Amen. There is an offer. We must not refuse it. And when we realize the source and how sure and secure it is, I want to bid you this morning, come.
I'm closing. Hallelujah. Jesus has promise rest. He'll give it now to you. The rest of ceasing from yourself to find your all in him. Hallelujah. That place of rest where you cease from yourself. Is that not the reason why we need that rest? It's because we found ourselves in that labor. And in the carrying of that load, we're depending more in ourselves than we are in him. But as I close this morning, come. Come unto me, all you that are labored and heavy laden. Hallelujah. 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 I know Brother Barnett's supposed to come next, but I feel the presence of God right here. And I know right where I'm at. And I feel the Lord bid me this morning, tell them, come. Now, I don't have a good enough memory to rehearse what has already been said this week, except we have the word. We've got a word. Come this morning. I'll give you rest. I don't remember everything else that's been said. Come on here. But all I know is this morning God is outstretching his hands one more time with open arms, and he's saying, come unto me. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to go up into the land of Canaan. You don't have to go to Gilgal. Come on here. You don't have to wait for a particular day or a particular feast, but the invitation is now. Come. Hallelujah. You may be here this morning and you don't know this master that can give rest. You may not be acquainted with this one that gives rest. Say, preacher, as you look over this small congregation, amen, surely we're all the children of God, amen, but I want to give you an invitation. You can find rest from your laboring of this world, amen. But there's some that's already moved. There's some that's already come and weeping. Hallelujah. They're seeking out their rest. Praise God. You may be here this morning. You're looking at me.
You see, in the other messages, they pinpointed a single individual. Each night, they pinpointed a single individual. And you sit there and said, that's for somebody else. It's not for me. Hallelujah. But this morning, I come, amen, and I open it to all. Come unto me, he said. Amen. Every last one of you know that you're dealing with some type of weariness. Every one of you that are sitting under the sound of my voice know that you have found yourself labored and heavy laden, and you ponder, Lord, how long, amen, as the fatigue and the tiring is setting in. But I give you an invitation this morning. He said, come and I'll give you rest. Hallelujah. I know you're looking at me as if, preacher, are you sure about this? I'm just as sure as I'm standing here. Hallelujah. I said, I'm just as sure as I'm standing here. I've not preached that long, and it won't take us long to pray in the altar, and there'll be plenty of time for Brother Barnett. But right now, there's an invitation to every soul that God would, you would allow God to deal with the weariness of your life. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Oh, ye.
Helpless man, blind from birth, the only one who saw his worth didn't pass him by.
You realize the need of your life? Have you got so weary? You've lost
with a handful of clay, and he said, go wash in the
pool. You first got to realize you need rest.
And the blind man knew that's what he had.
Then you've got
to
answer the call. From
I'm
the great
sure
high priest,
the way,
I'll give you rest, a rest like gone. You've never known,
but it's time
a rest that's divine,
back up again.
That's sure,
I wonder if he thought,
that's eternal.
Every step I take is a step of faith, when I can't see what's in front of me, I'll walk on and just believe he hears my prayer. And when I get there, the miracle promised by my Father is waiting in the water. Every step I take is a step of faith. When I can't see what's in front of me, I'll walk on and just believe he hears my prayer. And when I get there, the miracle promised by my Father is waiting in the water. A helpless man, blind from birth, the only one who saw his worth didn't pass him by. He heard his cry, washed his eyes with a handful of clay. Then he said, go wash in the pool today. And the blind man knew that's what he had to do. I'm sure along the way, he couldn't help but trip and fall. But each time he got back up again, I wonder if he thought. Every step I take is a step of faith. When I can't see what's in front of me, promised by my Father is waiting in the water. And every step I take is a step of faith. When I can't see what's in front of me,